still holding on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, fourth line.
Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, fourth line.
Okay, we left off like this. We quoted at the beginning of the sugya, back on Daf Lamed Tes, we quoted a long braisa that talked about the idea that you have a hekesh between the various kavanas that are where the blood is brought, the various hataris where the blood is brought into the hekesh. The power of the Kohen Gadol, for the power helam dover of the Kohen Gadol, the power helam dover shel tzibur, and the power of Yom Kippur. And we talk about what exactly those hekeshim teach us.
Then Kohen Gadol
is for which he makes a mistake in halacha. The power helam dover shel tzibur is for Sanhedrin makes a mistake in halacha. And then the one of Yom Kippur is the one of Yom Kippur. And then in addition, we said you also have two se'irim, you also have two goats, the one that's brought on Yom Kippur, where the avodah for that is basically the same as for the power, sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh and so forth. It's also a chassas. We learned about it in Shavuos.
No,
it serves as a kapara. We learned in Shavuos that it serves as a kapara for most of the se'irim of the regalim. It serves as a kapara for tumas mikdash for kodesh. For various cases, for certain cases where a person entered the bet mikdash or ate kodeshim and was tamei and didn't know about it.
And the power itself?
The power itself is for the kohenim. We talked about So also it's the same thing as the kohenim did it. So then we talked about, again, there's also two se'irim. There's the one of Yom Kippur, and there's the one that Sibur brings if the Sanhedrin mistakenly passed in on Avodah Zarah, and most of the people followed it. And we said also there's certain similarities between them. So we've been discussing what exactly the similarities are, what exactly these various occasion and these various lamudim are teaching us as far as the details of what has to be done and what dinim applies to them. We mentioned in this connection, that Rabbi Shmuel mentions a Kavah Chomer, that Madach in a place where, that Madach where you find two dissimilar korbanos, different animals, yet they have the same avodah. So when you have two similar animals, how much more so the avodah should be the same, and therefore he says, I don't really need to add the power you must support into this hekesh. I learned that the pasuk, but also la paro kasha, also the parachatos, is not talking about the power you must support at all. It's talking about the power of the sibur and the power of the kohen gadol for both for hel and dover. He said, because you don't need the power of Yom Kippur, you can learn from the Kavah Chomer. And then the last thing we said was that, how does he know that the same dinim apply to the Sur of Yom Kippur? He says like this, that he uses a similar Kavah Chomer, that if you have the Sur, again, you have a Sur and a Sur are the same, how much more, if even a Sur and a power are similar, how much more so a Sur and a Sur?
Similar in the way
the Avodah is done, so therefore similarly the various things that all the Masonis have to be done, and then he has to dip his finger in rather than wiping it off the side of the Keli, and so forth, F, Dam, and Tevila, as he said.
We don't have an example of similar Korbanot that have dissimilar...
Not as far as the ones that are done with name, right? And to a certain extent they are, because there are differences that it says in the Pasuk, but at least we said that as far as the things that it does say, and as far as the things that we say that it says by one, and we learn in the other one, in those we should assume that they're similar, on the basis of the Kavah Chomer. The last thing we said there was actually that, Rabbi Shmuel holds, you have a hekesh in the Pasuk between the power of Yom Kippur and the power of Kohen Mashiach. We have a hekesh between the par and the sur of Yom Kippur, and then he's able to use that in turn to learn a Kavah Chomer that the same thing applies to the Seiri Avodah Kafal. Okay, so the question. Right, but in other words, he uses a hekesh. There's a hekesh in the pasuk because it says kasha also the par hachatos, and he said hachatos means the sur. So therefore, you have a hekesh between those, and from that, he learns a Kavah Chomer that the same applies to the Sur of Yom Kippur. So he has a hekesh, and then he learns a Kavah Chomer. So the Gemara asks, "V'chidavra halamed behekesh chozer malamed b'Kavah Chomer?" Are you telling me that something that you learned by a hekesh, which here you're saying that you learned you're learning that the rule of es dam and tevila only applies by the Seiri Avodah Kafavim, you're learning from the hekesh, that they're compared to the power of the power of Kohen Mashiach, or the power of Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. And then you want to turn around and learn from that using a Kavah Chomer to the third of Yom Kippur. Can you do that? The answer is Amar Apostle. Apostle says yes. Kastava Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana of Dvei Rabbi Shmuel holds yes. Dover Alamet Behekesh Chozer Malamet B'Kavah Chomer. Sure. Something that you learn with the Hekesh, you can then turn around and learn a Kavah Chomer from it. Now, we're going to have, later on, in the next parak, we're going to have a long sugya that extends over about two blocks, that goes through all the details of when we say the kodshim, that when we learn item B from item A, under what circumstances and what limudim can we use to then take from item B and derive to item C as well. So we're going to talk about over there about using something that was derived from a hekesh and then using it as a basis for another hekesh. We'll talk about that over there. But we're also going to deal with the question, if the first limud was done with a hekesh, can the second one be done with a kal v'chomer? Kana d'Rav Shmuel says, her papa, yes, holds that you can. Therefore, for him, this limud is valid.
Does everybody agree that you can use two hekesh, one after the other?
In most of the Torah, everybody agrees that you can. It's in Korbanos that we're saying that you can't.
What?
Specifically in Korbanos. We have that's how it is. We have a Kabbalah that when it comes to Korbanos, it's different. The rules for learning for Korbanos are different. The rules for applying the Yudgul Midas, including Hekesh, are different with Korbanos than they're different with the Dinim of Korbanos, with the Dinim of Kodshim, than they are anywhere else in the Torah. Practically speaking, we see that there are a lot of the details of the Korbanos that are repeated individually by each one. You have some that aren't, which is why we're saying we have to have Hekeshim and Lemudim and Kal V'chomer and other such things. But the fact is, you do have a lot of the details that are repeated each time, evidently because you can't. Because if it weren't for that, you wouldn't be able to know that they apply by item C, because you wouldn't be able to learn it by transference from item B, which in turn you learn from item A. So we see that that's how it is. But how the mechanism of that works, again, we're going to have a whole sugya about it in the next parak, but you have the opinion of Rav Papa saying that Tanav Rav Shmuel holds that, yes, you can learn something by a hekesh and then turn around and use that as a basis for a kal v'chomer.
From a
kal v'chomer to a hekesh? I don't know. We'll have to see when we get to the next sugya. Okay. Fine. Next, let's continue analyzing the original braisa. We said, Lapar is a parhelem davashal tzibur. We said not the original braisa, rather we said the braisa that we quoted on Mem Amud Beis, which we said was Tana Dvei Rav Shmuel. Or actually, what we said over there was the braisa had said Lapor L'Rabbis Par Yom Kippurim, and that was according to Rebbe. And then Rav Shmuel said, you don't need that because I have a kal v'chomer. So the question is, what do you mean when we're saying Lapor is a Par Helam Dovah Shel Tzibur? He doesn't need a hekesh because he has a kal v'chomer. The question is, when we say lapur, we're quoting the later part of the braisa where Tana Dvei Rav Shmuel said, I don't hold that we need the power of Yom Kippur in this pasuk at all. I can learn that from my kal v'chomer. Therefore, I say that lapur in that pasuk refers to the power of Davar Shel Tzibur. When it says lapur, it says va'osa lapur kasha, also lapur hakasa. The first one refers to the power of Davar Shel Tzibur. The second one refers to the power of Mashiach. So now let's analyze that. What do you mean when we say lapar is a par helam davashal tibur? Why would it need to say that? Probably tibur grupek sib. This pasuk, but also lapar kasha, also lafar hakasas, is in the context of the par helam davashal tibur. Why would the pasuk have to be why would the pasuk have to be giving us an extra word to refer to the par helam davashal tibur if we're talking about that itself?
Which extra word?
The word lapar. Well, also lapar. We're saying the word lapar is teaching us about the par helam davashal tibur. But that's the context we're talking about. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, why do we need to mention it? Why do we need to say that word lapar? The answer is, I'm going to pop them like this. Mishum de boi agmuri parahelam davashal tibur b'yaseres of shnei kloyes l'siri avarit sechadim. Because it's like this. By the parahelam davashal tibur, we have one of the rules that applies to it is that we're going to need, when a korban is brought, we know the chaylev has to be offered. The chaylev includes a variety of parts. It includes among others, it includes the yeseres hakaved, which is the diaphragm, and includes the shtei kloyes, the kidneys with the fat that's on them. Now, by the parhelam davar shel tzibur, it doesn't explicitly say those parts. By the sur of a dezara, it also does.
Because they have to be offered.
They have to be offered. We only learn it from a hekesh. And on the other hand, by the Siri Avodah Zarah also, it doesn't say them explicitly. And we have to learn them by a hekesh. So now we would have a problem. There we'd have a problem. We'd be learning one thing with a hekesh and then trying to deduce from it for another thing with a hekesh, and we can't do that. So therefore, like this. Because we need to be able to learn that the Parhelam Davashal Tzibur requires the Yeseres of Shtei Kloyes, that it requires the Yeseres and the Shtei Kloyes to be offered on the Mizbeach, and with Siri Avodah Zarah, we need in turn to be able to learn from that to the Seiri Averes Sechavim, that the same rule applies, and Upar Helam Davashal Tzibur Begufei Lekhtiv. And now the problem is, it doesn't say it explicitly by the Upar Helam Davashal Tzibur itself. The Hekesh, how do we know it from the Hekesh, the fact that it's compared to the Upar Kari Mashiach? So don't you have a problem over there? You have a hekesh from Parakor and Mashiach to Parahelam Dover, and then you want to take from Parahelam Dover to Seir Avodah Zarah, and you can't do that. You can't learn by a double hekesh like that when it comes to Karbonis. So therefore, Itzrich Lakhar, therefore we need that word Lakhar in the Pasuk, but also Lakhar, even though we're talking in the context of the Parahelam Dover Shal Tibur. So we shouldn't need the word Lakhar to refer to the Parahelam Dover Shal Tibur. What we do is we need that word in order that it should be considered that as if the word Yeseres and Shei Klayus were written explicitly by it. In other words, if we did not have the word lapar over there, we would still have the hekesh because it's saying the author, he should do to it as he did to the parakata, namely to the one of the Kohen Gadol. But then you would have a hekesh and you can't use that as a basis for another hekesh. Because it says lapar over here, it means it makes it as that extra word over there is that extra word substitutes for have that there is considered as if it actually said that as if it actually said by there by itself. So therefore, you're learning from a hekesh and then you're going to derive from another hekesh. It's now considered that it says by the parahelam davashal tibur itself that you need yeseres or shei klayus, and then fine, you can use that as a basis for a hekesh to the Seir Avodah Zarah. The Shita Mukhabetis talks about what about according to Rebbe who says that the part that Lapar refers to the part of Yom Kippur. So how does he know that it applies to the parahelam davar? And he discusses because you have another pasuk over there that by the power of Kohen Mashiach, you have a pasuk. You have also an extra pasuk that says Kasher Yuram Mishol Zevach Hashlamim. Exactly what's taken off from an ox that's brought to the Shlamim is exactly what's done over here. But by the power of Kohen Gadol, it already listed all of them. The word Kasher Yuram is extra because it's not teaching us anything new. So therefore, we have that available to teach this also. So that's that, in other words. So Rav Papa says that's the reason why it says why according to him it has to say lapar in order that it shouldn't be a hekesh, that it should be that it's considered that it's actually written over there. And indeed, Tanya Kava says Rav Papa, indeed we learn a braisa like what Rav Papa just explained. The braisa says, v'ofta kasha ofta, when the posit says he should do to the one power exactly as he did to the other one, ma tamad loyma lapar, what does it mean by saying in the posit he should do to the power as he did to the other power? Lefishin, it's like this, lefishin nam rabahem hebiyu es korbanam ishal Hashem v'gomach atosam. The posit says, in parashas Shlach, When it discusses the Seir Avodah Zarah, the pasuk says that Hashem will forgive them because they brought their korban as a fire offering to Hashem for the chatasam lipnei Hashem asher yiratam, and their chatas for Hashem for their shugaga. Now, what does that mean? What does the word chatasam there mean? Elu Seir Avodah Zarah. The word chatasam means the Seir Avodah Zarah itself that it's talking about over there. Shigugasam the parhelam davar shel tzibur, and when it says shigugasam, which after all is sort of a synonym of chatas. It means also the mistaken aveda that they did. So therefore, that extra word teaches us about, that refers to the parahelam davashal sefer. Meaning, in other words, chatasam al shigigasam. So what does the pasuk mean when it puts them together and says that they brought their chatas for their shigaga? It means omra torah. It means the Torah is telling us.
Shigigasam
is parallel to chatas. But chatasam refers to the chatas that they're bringing for Avodah Zarah. Shigigasim refers to the chatas that they're bringing for other kinds of Averis, Chelev, for example. Where the Sibur made a mistake with Chelev, where the Sanhedrin made a mistake with Chelev, as we learned about in Harius. And what does it mean when the Pasuk says chatasam al shigigasim? What does it mean when the Pasuk says they grew up their chatas for their shigaga, meaning that there's a certain comparison between the chatas and the shigaga, meaning amra tarda chatasam harei locha kishigigasim? Means the Torah is telling you the chatas, namely the one of Avodah Zarah, should be treated just like the one of the Shgaga, the one for other Averis, so Chelev or Dam or what have you.
That can be
the chatas for Avodah Zarah.
That
the chatas Tibur for Avodah Zarah is treated and it has the same dinim as the one for other Averis, in the sense that the Avodah for them is the same, the blood is brought into the Heifel and sprinkled in the same way. They both have the dinim that we said before of Es, Badom, and Tvila, that there has to be enough blood in the basin to be able to dip his finger into, and you have to actually dip his finger in, not to scrape it off the side, and even if there's warts or whatever on his finger, all that, and the fact that all the matonics are active, and all those various dinim that we learned, that they apply to one and not to the other one, that they apply to one and also to the other one. Now, we have to consider, though, The Braise continues, Shigugotam Mehechem Lamasa. But after all, where did you, if you're saying that Shigugotam refers to the Parahelam Davashot Sibur, where do we know that these Zinim Bechlal apply to it? Loi Mehekesha, Loi Behekesha, didn't you learn them with a Hekesh? From the power of the Helam Dover of the Kohen Gadol, because that's the one where it says SS Boy, the Tova Kohen SS Boy Badom. So that's where it says all those details. That's the one where it says Espnei, that's the one where it says that he has to do it on the Mizbach, Turat Asamim, from which we saw, as we said before, that which is in Oyo Moyed, which we said before means that even if the roof of the Oyo Moyed collapses, then you can't do the sprinkling.
Right.
And if the Mizbeh Hazab had never been used for Kodos, then you can't use it. So where do we know all that from? Loi behekesha. Aren't you learning it with a hekesh? Well, don't you have a problem? But chidavra alamed behekesh, chayzer alamed behekesh. How can you have, if you learn one thing with a hekesh, you can't go and derive from it another thing using a hekesh when it comes to karbanos.
So
that is why, one second, that is why the braise finishes off. And this is, again, this is proving Rapapa's point. Tamad loimer, la par is a par helam davashot sefer. Therefore, the pasuk says that he should do to the par, meaning the power, which refers to the power helam davashot sefer, lit far, that power kari mashiach, and that continues, that so should he do to, he should do as he did to the power of the hatas, that power kari mashiach. So therefore, in other words, that extra word, lapar over there, is teaching, even though it's in the context of the power helam davashot sefer, is needed in order to make it not a regular run-of-the-mill hekesh. Now it's considered as though all these things, es, bajom, and tvila, and all the rest of these rules, are explicitly said by the power helam davashot sefer. And once we have that, then we're able to use the hekesh of chatosam al shigigotam to say that the same thing applies to the theory of Avodah Zarah. Now you don't have something that was learned by a hekesh that we're trying to go and learn from it another thing by a hekesh, because you don't have a hekesh for the first one. You have the actual word lapar over there referring to the power helam davar shal tibur, and therefore making it considered as though everything was explicitly, all the beginning were explicitly said by it.
So you can apply, because of the double lashon lapar, then you can...
Therefore, we're able to say it's not a regular hekesh. Therefore, it's considered as though all these rules were said explicitly by the power helam davar shal tibur itself. We don't just say, in other words, that it's compared in the sense that it says, Ken Yasala Farahasas, that in that sense we're comparing it, we're making a hekesh between it and the power of the Kohen Gadol, of the power helam davar of the Kohen Gadol. And then you would say that's a hekesh, and then you can't learn from that another hekesh to the Seir Avodah Zarah. Instead, we say that extra word, lapar, makes it, that makes it, it's not a hekesh anymore. Now it says, if it's said by it explicitly. And once it's said by it explicitly, sure, you can make a hekesh from it elsewhere in the Torah to the Seir Avodah Zarah.
So you use a double option and then a hekesh instead of a hekesh and a hekesh.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So again, so that proves Rapapa's point that's what the Braise, that's what Rabbi Shmuel would mean. Why in the case of the power, why in connection with the power helam davar shel tibur, which that pasuk is in that connection, why does it have to mention the power helam davar shel tibur itself? What are you making a hekesh between it and itself? Is in order to make it that it's not a hekesh, that you actually have it, as if these dinim were actually written explicitly by it, and therefore to be applicable therefore to other korbanos, namely the Seder of Avodah Zarah. Okay, so we said in this last braise that we just quoted that the word chatosam from Parshas Shlach refers to the Seir of Avodah Zarah. So the question is, typically mikra kama, why do we need that extra word chatosam? We already have it from the earlier pasuk that we quoted, the one from Vayikra. D'amamar, because in the braise before on Daf Mem, we said hachatas l'rab Seir Avodah Kechavim. We said that they were actually on the one on Daf Lam Tet. We said that the word hachatas in the pasuk in Vayikra, but also kash. But also, la paro kasha, also the par hachatos, the word hachatos over there, refers to the Seir Avodah Sechavim. So you already have a hekesh between the par, helam davar, shal tibur, and the Seir Avodah Sechavim. Why do you need the other word, chatosam, to teach us the same thing?
Also,
right. The answer is, Amar HaPapa Istrich, yes, but we do need both of them. Because, again, Sakudai Bechamina says like this, you would think, if you only have the one hekesh, then you would think that Hani Mili Hazoi, that when do we say that Seir Avodah Kechavim have the same genim as the Parahelam Dover, is as far as the Hazoi, Dichtivan Begufe, which the Hazoi, the fact that you have to sprinkle it seven times in front of the Parochas and four times on the Mizeh Hazov, that it says explicitly right there by the Parahelam Dover Shal Tzivur. Aval Yeseres of Shtei Kloyes Chalek Sivan Begufei, but the Yeseres and the Shtei Kloyes, the fact that you have to offer the fact that on the Mizbeach, which after all it doesn't say explicitly by the Par Helam Dover, we're only learning them from a Hekesh. Or not even a Hekesh, fine, we're saying we're learning them from the next word, Lakor, but still, the fact is it doesn't say them explicitly in the Pasuk for reasons that the Gemara is going to get into soon. A Maloi, so you would think maybe those don't apply to the Surah of the Zara. Kamash Malon, that is the Chiddush, that is why we need the second word, Chatasam, to tell us that they're also similar in that regard.
In regard as far as the
Chiddush.
In addition to being similar
in the applications of the blood, it also has to be similar as far as the offering of the cheder. Tosfos actually asked the question, if we said before that the word lakpar makes it as if it said yeseres and shtei tloyes for cheder by the higher helm of the tiber, then still, why do we need this? The answer is, Tosfos says, fine, but the fact is, if we didn't have the hekesh of chatosam al shayugosam, that we know, therefore, that there has to be a certain similarity between the sawyer and the par halam davar, we wouldn't have thought to say that lakor, the only reason why we needed to say lakor refers to the par halam davar shal tibur, is in order to be able to use it later on as a basis for a hekesh. So if we didn't have the hekesh from the word chatosam al shayugosam, we would have no reason to say the word lakor refers to the par halam davar shal tibur. Therefore, we wouldn't have thought that yeseres and shtei koyes says by itself. We would have said we learned them from a hekesh.
We could have thought without that also.
No, the point is, in other words, by the power halam davar shal tibur, one way or the other, we would know that yeseres and shtei kloyes apply.
Right.
Because either we would learn it from the hekesh, or we would learn it from the word lakor.
Right.
But the difference is, if we learned it from a hekesh, we couldn't use it as a basis for a hekesh with the sar. Because you can't do a double hekesh like that when it comes to kashim.
Right.
We need the word lakor, but the reason why we need the word lakor, the reason what made us doubt in the word lakor as referring to the power halam davar shal tibur, was in order to be able to use it for that hekesh. So if we didn't have the hekesh, if it didn't say chatosim, al shayugosim, and par shlach, then we have no reason to say that the word lakar refers to the power halam davar shal tibur. We would say that the yeseres for shtei kloyes by it itself, we only learn from a hekesh.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, that's the point. In other words, that so when we say over here, when our Gemara is saying that it doesn't say yeseres for shtei kloyes explicitly by the power halam davar shal tibur, we mean because even though ultimately we do learn them from the word lakar, it's considered as if they were, but the fact that we say that they're learned from the word lakar itself only in order to make the hekesh work. Therefore, that's the point. Therefore, we needed the other hekesh. We needed the word chatosam al shigasam in order to make the whole thing work.
So what's the hekesh for chatosam al shigasam?
The hekesh chatosam al shigasam teaches us that there's a certain similarity between the story of Avodah Zarah and the par halam davar shal tibur. Namely, that the same rules that apply to one apply to the other. And we're saying that that's referring specifically to the aseret of shtei kloyes.
Okay.
Because
the
loss of chatosam al shigasam, they brought their chatas for their shigasam, for their inadvertent davera.
Meaning both?
Meaning that there's the chatas, which is the one for Avodah Zarah, or the shigasam, the one that they brought for any other shigasam, the one that they brought for mistakenly fasting and eating chalev or dam or breaking Shabbos or what have you.
So that's the point.
Right. But the point is, though, that if we didn't have that hekesh, Then we would have said that it does not say yeseres or shtei kloyes by the par halam davar shal tibur itself. We would say we only learn them itself by a hekesh, namely the hekesh for also lakor kasha, also the par halam in Parshas Vayikra. Therefore, we need the second hekesh in order to clarify for us what the first word lakor means. Okay. Fine. Now the problem with this is as follows: Amalei Rav Huna Breider of Nasan Lanakasa. So Rashi explains that this question is actually going back to something that we learned earlier in the Sugya. We said in the Sugya earlier that Rav Papa had said the purpose of the Hekesh between, according to the earlier opinion, according to Rebbe, we said before that the comparison between the par yom kippurim and the other parim was specifically, we didn't need it as, or actually according to Rabbi Yehuda, we said. We said it wasn't specifically to teach us that just like by one all the hazoris are ma'akiv, so by the other all the hazoris are ma'akiv. By yom kippur, we know that explicitly anyway, either because we said it says the chilam is hakar as a kodesh, and Rabbi Yehuda learned over there that it meant you have to do all the hazoris. So therefore, we said, according to him, the only reason, or Papa said, the only reason why we have a hekesh, according to Rabbi Hodes and Rabbi's understanding, between the power of Helam Gavar Shal Tzibur and the power of Yom Kippur, is to teach us, between the power of the Kohen Gadol and the power of Yom Kippur, is to teach us the concept of Es Badam Uchvila. The idea that even if he has a wart on his finger, the idea that you have to have enough dam in the keli, the idea that you have to actually dip your finger in rather than scrape it off. That's what Rav Papa had said. The purpose of that hekesh was only for that. To teach us that matonis and ma'akiv, that we know independently by each one.
Between the hekesh, between the...
Between the power of the Kohen Gadol, where it says the words es et boi, the tovol akoyin es et boi badom, from which we learn the concept of es badom and tvila, we have the hekesh with the word lakor, where he learned that the word lakor refers to the power of Yom Kippur. He said, you have a hekesh between them. So we asked, what do we need that hekesh for? Rav Papa said, we learned this yesterday, that the only reason for that hekesh is to teach us that the genium of Es Badam Utvila apply also by the korban of Yom Kippur. The problem with that is, Rav Huna Breder of Nathan says to Rav Papa, Bahatana, Pari Yamakapurim, Lachol Masham, Ubi'in, Kama. Didn't the Tana say that the purpose of that hekesh is to teach us that everything that applies to the power of the Kohen Gadol also applies to the power of Yom Kippur? So not just the concept of Es Badam Utvila, but across the board, also the fact that the Hazor is Samah Akiv. The answer is Tanoi. It's actually Machloikas Tanoi. The Machloikas is based on this Braisa that we quoted before. So we said before, on that mem, we quoted a Braisa, where we said that when it says, La Poro is Pariyam Akporim, to be Marva, that's everything that says in the Indian, Divri Rebbe, and then Rabbi Shmuel argued the fact that I have a Kavapoimer. So now, we don't need that word. So therefore, so we actually have a machloikas tanoim, namely like Tana dvei rav mar bihoch. Namely like this, the original braisa that we quoted back on Daf Lamed Tet, the beginning of the Surya, the whole long braisa that was quoted over there that said the also kasha also ma balumoy, and we went through details over there, and we said over there where it said ken yasal aparza pariyana kapurim. And we said that and Rav Papa ended up saying that the purpose of that hekesh was only to teach us that to the power of Yom Kippur, the genim of Es Badom Tevila applied. That braisa we're calling Tana Dvei Rav. Doesn't mean it came from the yeshiva of Rav. Dvei Rav means that was taught in general in the yeshiva. That, not necessarily just of Rav, it was taught in general in the yeshiva. Rashi explains, whenever you have a braisa from Torah, this original braisa that we quoted at the beginning of the Surya, where he said, Tana Rabbanan, v'osa kasha osa ma bo vilmoy. In general, when you have in the Gemara a braisa that begins with a pasuk and asks what we learn from it, that braisa usually comes from one of the halachas midrashim on the Surya. You have, and on Shmoyt, you have like this, on Sefer Bereishis has few enough mitzvahs that you don't really have any medrash halacha on it. You have medrash agada on it, obviously. Because there's lots of Agadah, but Medrash Halacha and Bereshit you don't really have. Shmoit, beginning from
what's the difference between Midrash Agadah,
Daushin, Pesukim, to teach us Agadah, to teach us lessons in Avodah Hashem. Midrash Halacha is to teach us the actual Halacha, how we derive them from the Sukim. So there isn't one on Bereshit. On Sefer Shmoit, you have beginning from Parashas Boy, where you have the Mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh and the Mitzvah of Korban Pesach and so forth. You have the Mechilta. On Vayikra, you have the Sifri. You have Sifra, rather. And on Vayikra, Medrash Halach, which is called Sifra, it's also called Torah's Koyim. And by Midbar and Devarim, you have a similar one called Sifri. Or Sifrei, properly speaking, is called
Sifra.
Sifra is for Vayikra. Sifra means singular status. It's only on one base. And Sifrei, or Sifri, is plural, meaning that's for by Midbar and Devarim together. So that. In general, when you have anywhere in Shas, when you have Braisa that's quoted, Tana Rabbanan, and it begins by quoting a pasuk and seeing what we derive from it, it comes from one of those collections. In this case, we were darshaning a pasuk in Vayikra, therefore it's one that comes from Sifra, from Torah Koyanim. Any braisa that comes from Torah Koyanim, Rashi says, can be called Tana Dvei Rav, not because it was taught specifically in Rav Yeshiva, but because it was taught in all the Yeshiva. Dvei Rav means in all the Yeshiva. They taught these braisa.
Not Rav the specific Amora, but
Rav meaning in general the Rav of every Rosh Hashanah.
A lot of
yes, right. So that Braisa, that Gleiser did not need a Hekesh between the power of Yom Kippur and the power of the Kohen Gadol, did not need the Hekesh across the board, because he says you can learn the concept that all the Hazoris of Yom Kippur are ma'akid. He says you can learn either from the word Chukah, v'hoysalacham ha'chukah ta'olam, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, from v'chilam ha'kapur et ha'kodesh. So according to him, you don't need the Hekesh, the only thing you need the Hekesh with Yom Kippur for is to teach us about Es Bajam Utvila.
That's according to
the first Braita on Daklav and Tess. On the other hand, Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, Loi Marivachi, on the other hand, the Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, the Braita that we quoted on Dak Mem, where we quoted a Braita from Rabbi Shmuel, that specifically was taught and arranged in the Braita of Rabbi Shmuel, in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. Not everybody learned it. It was only according to Rabbi Shmuel. He does not hold that. Therefore, he does not learn from Chukah. He does not learn from the Chilam and Kaper of HaKadosh. Therefore, he can say that the Hekesh between the power of the Kohen Gadol and the power of Yom Kippur is meant across the board to teach us everything. Not only Esba, Jom Ritvila, but also to teach us that all the Hazois are active. And if you miss one of them, then the Korban is no good. So you're asking on Rapapa why, how can the Braitha say Lachol Masha Omer B'Inyan? The answer is that Braitha is only according to Rabbi Shmuel. The original Braitha would say it's not Lachol Masha Omer B'Inyan. It's only as far as Es Bajam is concerned. But it's Machlokes Tanoim, what exactly we're looking for. Right. Tosfos has a different explanation of what the question and the answer is. Among other things, Tosfos is wondering, before we use this Braita to prove Rav Papa's point, now all of a sudden we're using it to question Rav Papa. But still, it's the same exact Braita. So Tosfos understands, though, that the question is not going back to the Es Bajam Ritvila, it's going only back to what we just mentioned about the Yesedas of Shtei Klois. Given that, again, as the Shittim of Kubeth has pointed out, you have a pasuk by the power code Mashiach itself, which is extra, Kasha Yuram, and we're able to use that for the power held on Davash of Sibur. So why do you need the Hekesh from Chatosim Al Shigugotim? And the answer is, if you're able to learn it from Kasha Yuram. And the answer is, the Maholik of Tanoim, what you're learning from what?
So one kind of says you're learning from
Kasha Yuram, and the other, and therefore you can make a Hekesh from that, and the other one says that you're learning from, and the other one says that you're learning from the Hekesh Chatosim Al Shigugotim. Yeah. Okay. Fine. All right. So now we're basically done with this whole complex sugya about what we needed to douse in from what, but we have kind of one loose end to tie up.
The whole sugya was meant to explain...
Ultimately, it was meant to explain how we know that by all the Hatoris Apnimius, that if you missed out even one Matana, then it's ma'akid. But in the course of that, we also clarified certain other dinim that apply to all of them, for example, the dinim of Es Bajam and Tevila.
Right.
The main purpose was to show that all the Hazois are active by each one. Yeah. Even by the ones where it says explicitly, and by the ones such as the Sora of Avodah Zarah, where it doesn't even say explicitly. In fact, by the Sora of Avodah Zarah, it doesn't say anything about how you do the Avodah. It just says they bring a chassid. So that it has to be all the same. That we're learning from these notations that we're talking about. Okay. So now we have kind of one loose end tie up. The fact of the matter is that by the parahel of Davash of Kibur, it does not mention specifically the fat that's to be gored on the Mizbech. All the Pasuk says by the parahel of Davash of Kibur, again, so it says like this.
So what is it supposed to be gored?
Well, that's the point. We said ultimately we're learning it either from the word lapor or we're learning it
to be gored on the
Mizbech. Right, obviously, but we didn't say. So you have the power of the Kohen Gadol. There it says all the details. It says that he should sprinkle the blood in front of the parochas. It says that he should put it on the four corners of the mezeach hazahav. He should take all the chaylev from it, and it lists specifically out all the chaylev that he has to bring. The chaylev asher alakerev. This is in Parashat Vayikra. So by the power Kohen Gadol, by the power Helam Gadol Shal Tzibur of the Kohen, not Shal Tzibur, by the power Helam Gadol of the Kohen Gadol, it says everything. It says all the details. And then it says that it brings all the fat, it's listed in Pasuk Ches and Tes.
Right.
Then it says this extra Pasuk Kasher Yuram. Okay, fine. Then it continues that he takes the whole thing and burns it. And then takes it outside the Machane Book.
Right.
Then it starts talking about the parahel and Davashot Sibir. There the Pasuk is a little bit briefer. It does mention the seven hazois in front of the parochet.
Right.
It does mention the four hazois on the mezbeach hazav.
Right.
But then when it comes to the chaylev, it just says briefly. All the chaylev you should take off from it and burn it on the mezbeach, and you should do to the par as was done to the parochet. So the question is, why does it not mention the details of the chaylev? Why doesn't it mention the fact that there's the chaylev, the yeseres, and the shtei kloyos, or whatever? Why does it not mention that by the parochet and davar shel, and therefore we're having to learn it from the word lakor? Why is that?
What could it be then?
It could, the pasuk could have said explicitly. It could have said.
What answers could we get?
That's what we're going to see. The answer is a ton of veda b'shmol. It's a little bit of agamta. Why does it mention the yeseres and shtei kloyos only by the parakoyin mashiach, but not by the parahelam davar shel tzibur? Where there it just says briefly that it should take all the chaylev and burn it on the mizbeach. It's like this. You can compare it to a melech boss of a dom who got angry at his good friend. But because he loved him, therefore he reduced his silchon. He reduced the discussion of what he did wrong. So what does that mean? So Rashi says like this. It means like this. The oyhavoy over here, Rashi says, means the silchon. So when it comes to the Kohen Gadol was not as important in Hashem's eyes as the Tzibur. Tzibur, after all, is the whole Tzibur. The Kohen Gadol is just their representative. He's part of it. He's their representative, but he's not the whole Tzibur. Therefore, when it comes to the Tzibur, Hashem wants to keep things brief in the sense that we don't want to dwell on what they did wrong. We don't want to have to spell out in so many words that this and this and this has to be done with their carbon. We would rather keep it brief and learn it by a hekesh or by the word lapar from the other one.
That's why.
So that's why. In other words, the miyat b'sil choynim b'pnei oyavoy, right. B'pnei chibose, because he loves it. Right. The Marsha explains it the other way around, actually. Marsha says that rather the oyavoy over here actually refers to the Kohen Gadol. Miyat b'sil choynim means, therefore, that the posik wants to, that just the opposite. The posik mentioned the details by the Kohen Gadol in order to give all the details of how he goes and accomplishes kapara. Like, so to speak, it's like a more, the Kohen Gadol. The Marsha learns that the oy havoy over here refers to the Kohen Gadol, and therefore the idea is that the Kohen Mashiach himself, the Kohen Gadol, because he's Hashem's beloved one, because he serves Hashem personally, and he's the Kadosh specifically, therefore, because his korban is precious to Hashem, therefore Hashem wants to stress that we accept so much from it. There's the Yeseres, there's the Shtei Kloyos, like look what a big offering, look what a big gift he's bringing, so to speak. As opposed to the Tzibur, the Torah just leaves it out.
That's the harder.
Okay, that's how Marsha learns, because he says the next statement that we're going to learn, that by the next thing we learn, is the opposite. It's the opposite of what Rashi says, that we consider the one of the Tzibur to be a harsher thing. So therefore, Marsha says to be consistent, we should also consider that the first one is referring to that the Kohen Gadol is more beloved. Okay.
That seems to be a little stretched.
Okay.
The Kohen Gadol is more beloved than the Tzibur.
But, the point is because he serves personally in front of Hashem and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's called as a Kodesh V'Hikrivelov. Okay,
shouldn't be.
Okay. So wait, let's learn through this piece, and then I'll talk about a few other interesting explanations, including the Rashi Sicha and the Chela Chavzayin, where the Rebbe analyzes these two teachings and how Rashi quotes them on the Pasuk, in some detail. Okay. The Tanit Veda Bishmal, then Tanit Veda Bishmal teaches another point also. Here's another point where we have a difference between the description of the Parakoyim Mashiach and the Parahelam Davar Shel Tzibur. Why is it? When it comes to the power of the Kohen Mashiach, it says that he sprinkles the blood on Pnei Paroichet HaKodesh, on the surface or in front of the holy Paroichet. On the other hand, by the Tzibur, why does it say by him? By the power Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. It doesn't say Paroichet HaKodesh, it just says as Pnei Paroichet.
Is that because he's...
So that's where you have to figure. Why the difference? Why by the Kohen Gadol it says Parochet HaKodesh and by the Tzibur it says just Parochet? The reason is, he says, Moshel Melech Basav Adam Shesorcha Ol Medina. It's like the Melech Basav Adam where the whole country rebelled against him. Where the country rebelled against him. So how much of the country? In the Urta Sorcha, if only a minority of the people, a minority of the people rebelled against him, then his entourage is still intact. Pamalya, Rashi says, Knesset Chabura Satsos, it means the gathering of the people who he takes counsel with, who like his close advisors, who Ramaskimim Lajaiter, the people who agree with him, Ashadivri Sisra Alehim, where he speaks his secret, where he tells them his secret. So that's the Pamalya, means like his entourage, like the, his close, his family, right? The word Pamalya is related to the word family. So like his cabinet, you might say, so to speak, right? So if only a mute of the Medina rebelled against him, then Famalia Shalem Iskayemus, then his entourage, his posse, you might say in English, is still intact.
His posse,
I was saying, but whatever. The point is, like his group, his immediate group, his really familiar group, yeah. In Rubosto, but if most of them rebel, and Pamalya Shalem is Kayemis, then it's Pamalya itself falls apart also. So to speak, the idea is if the Sibur as a whole, or most of the Sibur, rebelled, okay, it was by mistake, because they followed a mistaken ruling of the Sanhedrin, but still, so to speak, like the Kedusha, well, in that sense, because they should have been more careful. But the point is, therefore, they should have learned better, and then they would have been more careful. Right. But so then, in Samalia, Shalem Iskayemis, then Kavyocha, like the Kedusha, doesn't even exist as much anymore. Hello. So therefore, that's why it doesn't use the word Parecha HaKodesh. Therefore, just as a snare Parecha, as if, so to speak, the Kedusha has gone away.
And that's why we're saying that.
That's why.
Double is more.
So that's the point. That's Marshall's point. Since in the second one we see that's a much more serious thing. If the Sibur rebels, then therefore it's logical that in the first one also we're treating the one of the Sibur more seriously, more stringently than we are the one of the Kohen Gadol, and therefore it's more logical. Marshall says to say that the fact that it says the status of Shtei Koyos by the Kohen Gadol is meant to highlight the greatness of his korban, as opposed to the korban of the people as a whole, where then we leave out the status of Shtei Koyos, like as if to kind of get it over with and not go into and not mention what a beautiful korban it is. As opposed to, according to Rashi, it's the other way around. Because the people as a whole are more beloved by Hashem over the Kohen Gadol, therefore we want to keep the description of the fact that they have to bring the korban as brief as possible.
Right.
So there's a couple of interesting ideas on this. Among others, is one idea I saw, as I think the Nesiv says this, is the Yeseres and Shtei Klolius, why Bechlal do you bring those from a korban? Because those represent the parts of a person, and then therefore bring them from the animal that lead him to do aver. The Yeseres has to do with the liver, which is like the person's passion, the seed of the passion.
The Yeseres
isn't the liver itself, it's a diaphragm. It's a diaphragm which is attached to the liver, and in fact you have to take some of the liver along with it. That's the Yeseres. A la covered means that you take some of the covered with it. And you have other explanations also what the Yeseres is. There's another explanation that's the lobe of the liver, whatever, anyway. The point is, it's something having to do with the liver. The cloyas are, in Torah terminology, the cloyas, the kidneys, are yoyasos, that would give a person advice what to do. So therefore the Yeseres, right? Well, what does it mean in biological terms? It's hard to say. I mean, one idea is the kidneys filter your blood and filter out, they filter out toxins and whatever and produce urine. So therefore, in that sense, it's like the equivalent of what you do in your mind, filtering through possibilities and coming to a conclusion. Whatever it is, anyway, the point is, symbolically, then the aesthetics and Shtei Koyos represent what led a person to do the Avera in the first place. Therefore, one way of looking at it, working with Rashi's way, is by the Kohen Gadol, we don't mind mentioning that he has to bring the aesthetics or Shtei Koyos. We don't mind stressing that, look, he made a mistake. He followed his passion. He followed it with the wrong counsel in his brain and his Koyos or whatever and came to the wrong conclusion. As opposed to by the Sibur, we don't want to mention that. We want to not even mention that, but sort of give them an excuse, like they didn't know what they were doing.
Right.
I think the Nesiv said that. It would work better with Rashi's explanation than with Marsha's. Another, as far as the Parecha HaKodesh business, there's an explanation that I saw from the Griz, from Revel Soloveitchik, that says that the Vorach is the Par Kohen Mashiach, as we learned in Hodias, can only be brought when there's Shemin HaMishcha, when the Kohen Gadol is anointed with Shemin HaMishcha. Once there's no such Kohen in Gerdim, there's no more Par Kohen Mashiach. On the other hand, the power of Elam Delishal Sibur can be brought in time as Sanhedrin. So therefore, in that sense, he says like a different...
It has to be a Sanhedrin, though.
Right. But fine. But the point is, therefore, the Parochas, therefore, is called Parochas HaKodesh in the first case and not in the second for a different reason than the Gemara is saying over here. Not having to do with whether the Pamali, with the Pamali Shalem is Kayemis or not, but having to do with, is there Shemana Mishcha or not? If there's Shemana Mishcha, it can be called Parochas HaKodesh. If there's not Shemana Mishcha around anymore, and then it's not necessarily a certain degree of Kedusha has gone away, especially because when the Shemana Mishcha went away, the Orem went away also. Where it was also hidden away. So therefore, in that sense, there's like a lesser level of kedusha to the parochas. Okay. In this Rashi, in this Rashi sikha that I'm talking about, the Chelek of Zion, that Rebbe talks about, so Rashi brings both these explanations, but actually in reverse order. Rashi first brings the one about parochas hakodesh on the pasuk where it goes, and then a few psukim later, he brings the one about the ascetics of Shekhoyas in the pasuk where it belongs. But Rashi does not mention the Manda Omer on the first one, he only mentions it on the second one. So the Rebbe talks about, why is that? So first of all, the Rebbe explains that when we say over here the expression Sirchoinoi, what does the word Sirchoinoi mean? Literally, the word Sirchoin means a bad smell. So it means not the Avera itself, the Rebbe explains, but rather kind of the after effects of it. Like when you have, there was something disgusting around, and now you have a smell lingering around. Miet b'Sirchoinoi means that Hashem, means like Rashi is saying over here, that Hashem prefers to keep the description by the people short and leave out the Aseret of Shteklois out of love for them, not so much in order to hide the Avera. The Avera itself has already been discovered for, but so to speak, like to hide the bad smell, the after effect of it. Like to show the after effect goes away as quickly as possible. And who is the one who says that? Specifically Rabbi Shmuel, who we find elsewhere. Rabbi Shmuel says on himself, Bnei Yisrael, and Kaparasa, and he says in connection with people who have to have Saras even, he says, may I be a Kapara for them. But like, so to speak, he's the one to talk about the tremendous love that Hashem has for the Jewish people. Like Hashem is, so to speak, willing to overlook the bad smell, so to speak, and then discuss it as briefly as possible. No, because when you have a disgusting thing around, a person doesn't have air, and there's a smell afterwards. There's a bad odor. No. So the point is the Sirchoin, according to the Rebbe's explanation, refers to the effects of the Avera. Not specifically that you're burning the Aseret or Shteklois, but in general, the fact that you have an after effect of the Avera. So the Torah is shortening that because Hashem, in order to demonstrate, like Hashem tries to, so to speak, ignore the after effect of the Avera of the Sibur as much as possible because you love them. Fine, but then we're talking about, well, that's what we're talking about, the korban itself, which is accomplishing the kapara. Until that, there's this after effect, there's this bad smell over there.
After the
korban is done, then fine, that's the point. In other words, Hashem is getting rid of that, but Hashem is, so to speak, willing to overlook it and not go into details. And who is the one who says that? Rabbi Shmuel, who says that himself, Ami kaparasan, and so to speak, like puts himself, like Hashem is willing to put himself in the same place also and join together with the Jewish people and then wipe away the smell.
Why did he say that about himself?
So he says, the context is the Mishnah in Negoyim, where it's talking about how you diagnose saras in people with different shades of skin color. So the Mishnah starts saying over there, for example, you imagine you have like a black person who has saras, even if it's not particularly white, it's going to look very bright white against his skin. On the other hand, you have a Jew Moini, which means either some of the Mephoshim say there it means somebody with very white skin, Goren means a bone, so like bone white, or it means a German with very pale skin, whatever, somebody like that. Even if you have a bright white Salah spot, it'll look very dull compared to his skin. So how do you evaluate these things? So Rabbi Shmuel says over there, Bnei Yisrael ani kaparasan. He says, Bnei Yisrael, and he interjects, may I be their kapara? In other words, if there has to be anybody who has to suffer Salah, Let me take it on their behalf, so to speak. He says, most Jewish people are an intermediate color, and therefore you don't have such an issue with that. But the point is, he uses this expression.
So he
even
wanted to take it to the point itself?
Yeah, that's the point. In other words, he uses the expression, I need kaparasa, like may I be the kapara on behalf of the Jewish people.
And what does that imply?
It implies, in other words, that I have such ava for the Jewish people that even you have a low-down person who has to get sarah, Better. Let me take that kapara on myself rather than he should have to have it. So therefore, he's the one. Therefore, that's why Rashi mentions this one. Yes, so that's why Rashi specifically mentioned that teaching about me at the Sirchoinim of Nechibasa. That's why he mentioned specifically that one in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, because Rabbi Shmuel is the one who wants to show the tremendous love that Hashem has for the Jewish people.
Well, yeah.
Right. Very similar. Yeah.
He went to Peter Shoshan.
This is also true. Yeah.
Okay. So, does that have anything to do with it?
No idea. I mean, I guess in that sense, he was a kapara for the Jewish people. Okay. All right.
He requested it.
Well, yeah. Okay. All right, let's continue with the Gemara. getting back finally, so now we finally get back to the Mishnah. After we had the sugya extending over the last couple of blocks, trying to figure out the details of how we know that the matonos by all the chatoris apnimiyas are ma'akiv, as opposed to by the chatos chesona, we said we have the shamai v'sillel, one or two, and the halacha is like the sillel that you need only one. Now we get back to the Mishnah, and now we finally get back to the issue of pigul that we've been dealing with, that we've been dealing with the last 15 blocks or so, mostly. Okay. The Mishnah said, l'fichach in nothing kulin ketiknon chulo. So the Mishnah said like this, because by a chatos chesona, we said like this, when it comes to a chatas chitzoina, since according to the Tibble, which is the halacha, only one matana is ma'akiv, therefore if he did the first matana, ketikna, properly, without any machshava zara, and then he does the second one, with the chutzos mano, chutzos mekoma, doesn't matter, the korban is kosher. As opposed to the chatoris apnimius, we said that if he had that all of them have to be done. Therefore, if he does even all of them ketiknan and one shaloi ketikna, he does even one of them with a thought of chutzos mano or chutzos mekoma, it doesn't become pigul, but it becomes possible. Sula v'ein beikoris, the Mishnah says. It's possible, but it's not pigul. So let's analyze.
He has a machshava that has nothing to do with
No. We said in the previous pedic, we said that Rabbi Yehuda had a hold, there are certain Arab had held, there are certain other machshavas that might pass. So what the Chachamim said, and the halacha is like the Chachamim, that the only ones that can pass are chutzos manoi, chutzos mekoimai, or shaloi l'shmoi, or shaloi l'shem bailov in the case of Pesach and Chassah. We said in the Mishnah, l'fichachim nothing kolin ketiknan. Although we said that in the case of chatoris apnimius, if you did all of them properly and you did one of them improperly, then the korban is possible. So let's analyze that in view of another Mishnah. Kinan hosam, we learned in the Mishnah in Menachos, pigul b'koymitz v'loy b'lavayna. Suppose that a koyin is doing, when it comes to a mincha, you have four avodas similar to what you have by a korban behem. You have the k'mitzah, which is similar to the shikha, putting the kohenus into a keli, which is like Kabbalah, walking it over to the mezeach, which is halacha, and burning it on the mezeach, which is the equivalent of zrika. Now, when it comes to the zrika, when it comes to the burning the kohenus on the mezeach, you also have, you burn not only the kohenus, but you also burn the levoina. Like this, you have when a normal kohen mincha has on it, it's made of flour and oil, and in addition, you sprinkle levoina, frankincense, on it. Afterwards, after the kohen does the kmitzah, he collects all the levoina and puts it in the keli together with the kohenet and takes the whole thing and burns it on the mezeach. So pigul b'kohenet
v'loy. He takes with one hand.
He takes with one hand. What he does is he moves over the levoina to the side so it doesn't get in the way.
Which is the incense.
He does a handful from the flour and oil mixer. Then he puts that in the keli. He takes all the levoina, collects it from on top of the mincha, and also puts that in the keli. And then he takes the whole thing and walks it over to the mezeach, goes and burns. So, pigul b'kohenus v'loy b'levoina. Suppose that he had in mind the thought of pigul, a thought of chutzos manoi regarding the kohenus, but not regarding the levoina, or the other way around, the levoina v'loy b'kohenus. Rav Meir only pigul v'chayavin ala kodesh. Rav Meir says it would be pigul, and a person, he would be machmer, and the person would be chayav kodesh for eating it. V'chamam en v'kodesh ad she'ifagol v'chol ha'master. Anybody who eats it knew it's pigul. Anybody who eats it would be chayav karis. The Chacham says it won't be karis unless he had a thought of pigul regarding the entire matzah. When it comes to a korban mincha, you need the kohenus and the levoinus together have to be burned on the mezeach. Only then is the rest of the mincha mutter for the kohenim to eat. So the two of them together constitute the matzah. As opposed to an animal korban, where you basically only have one matzah, the blood. So, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Loy tema tema did a mayor to kasavam a fagman machatzi matir. Don't think that the reason why the mayor would say that it's pigul if you only did one, if you only had it in mind by the kohenus or only in mind by the levoina. You would think maybe the reason is because the mayor holds mefaglan machatzi matir, that you're able to create pigul using only part of the matir. In this case, that he would say you're able to create pigul using only the kohenus, even though the levoina, which is also part of the matir, is not, he didn't have a thought of pigul. No, that's not the mayor's reason. No, the case rather would be that he put the kohenus into the fire, having in mind a thought of pigul, having in mind that he's going to eat the mincha chutzos mana, but then he put the levoina b'shtika quietly without saying anything different.
He's
going to say the
priest
burning it right now. Oh, so that's the point. Rish Lakish is saying, when Rav Meir said v'koymetz v'loy b'lavonim, b'lavonim v'loy v'koymetz, what it means is that he did the first, whichever one he did first, he did with the thought of him. The pashas, he's allowed to burn them in whatever order you want. So what it is the first one that he did, whichever one it was, whether it was the Kermis or whether it was Lavoina, he did the first one with a thought of Pigul, and then he did the second one with Sikha, without saying or without thinking
anything. Well, the Kermis and then the
Fine, but it could be done the other way around. Also, you could do the other way around. You could do the Lavoina first and then do the Kermis. The point is that it's not because you hold Mephaglin, the Hatimatir, but rather, Kasava, Kol Ha'oisa, Al-Das, Rishona, Hu'oisa. It's because your mayor holds that when a person acts without saying anything, he's following his original machshava. The fact that he had a machshava of chutzas manai by the kaimet means when he does the levona b'shtika, means it's also a continuation. He's also doing the levona with the same thought of chutzas manai. Therefore, it's a complete matter was done with the thought of chutzas manai.
In other words, he says one automatically follows the other.
Right. In other words, your mayor would say, if he did the second one explicitly saying, no, but I am going to eat the rest of the mincha bizmana, then that's different. Then it would be because of ein mefaglin l'chatzimatzer. But because he's doing the second one without saying anything, therefore it follows the first one. And your mayor holds that concept that called kol ha'oisa al-das rishona hu oisa, when a person is acting without saying anything, he's following the original das that he had when he started the process.
Yes, no?
Yeah, well, that's what Rish Lakish holds.
Okay, not anything.
No. Right. And in fact, now, the Mephoshim point out, at the beginning of the Masechta, all the way back on Daf Beis and Daf Yimel, we did talk about the idea that we do often say, kola oisal das rishona hu oisa. Because we had the example, where a person did one of the avodas of a korban, or part of the avodah, or whatever, lishma, and then shaloi lishma, and he did, let's say, for example, he started doing Lashma, and then he continued Shaloi Lashma. We said it's no good in the case of Pesach or Hatzah, but we said over there, if he starts Lashma, and then continues B'shtika, then it's okay, because Kolor is Al-Das Rishona Hu'oisa. Everybody agrees to that. And the same thing by other things also. You find, for example, when you start writing a guest, for example, you start writing it Lashma, and that works throughout the whole thing. Similarly with other things. The difference is that there we're talking about you started doing the thing the kasher. Once you start doing it in a kasher way, we assume everybody will agree that you assume that you continue to do it the kasher, unless you had a specific machshavat soul. Here we started out with soul, you started out with machshavat chutzas manai. The mayor is going to hold that still that extends to the whole thing. The chachamim are going to disagree with that.
Yeah.
The Chachamim would say that unless you specifically said, or thought, according to the opinions, that thinking is enough, that you have in mind chutzas manai for both of them, then no, we're going to assume that you only had the wrong machshava by one of the two things, but you have the right machshava by the other one.
So it's not the machshava
table? No,
okay.
Well, that's the point. Even without machshava, then we don't assume that the wrong machshava extends it. Right.
It's only if you have the wrong machshava.
Oh, right, but that's the point. If he has a right machshava to begin with, everybody will agree that you allow that, that you assume even if he doesn't have any particular machshava afterwards.
Whatever it is, basically.
No, but again, everybody's going to agree if the first thought was the proper thought that everything else is going to follow. The mayor is going to say also that's true as far as if the first thought was a possible thought. The Chachamim are going to disagree with that.
Right.
That's the point.
The Chachamim are going to say
if the first one was a good thought, then fine. Everything else follows from it if it was just sicker. But if the first one was a bad thought, we're not going to assume everything else follows it. He would have to explicitly say or explicitly think by the second stage also. Mimai, now Rish Lakish says, how do I know that? How do I know that's what Meir holds, and not because he holds Mephaglin b'chatzi matir, that it wouldn't matter the order, but it's possible to create figure with only half. No, it's either one or the other. The reason is, because you wouldn't need both.
You wouldn't need both,
yeah.
Maybe.
Now, Mimai, Midikatoni, the reason Rish Lakish says, why I know Meir holds that, because our Mishnah said, L'fichach im nosen kolen kitiknan v'achas sholei kitikna, we said in our Mishnah, that when it comes to Chatzaris HaPnimi, it's again where you have to do all these sprinkling of the blood, and all of them have to be done or they're ma'akim. Therefore, if you did all of them properly and one not properly, one with a machshava still, then korban is possible to ain't be karet. Then it would be possible, but there's no karet, there's not figure. Implying, But that would seem to imply that if it was the other way around, if you started by first doing one of them shalai katikna with a thought of put with manu, and then you did the rest of them katikna without any particular makshava, then it would imply that it's pigul.
And
that would be correct. Now we have to ask manu, who would that mishnah be like? Ilay me rabbanon, are you going to say it's according to the rabbanon? Wouldn't work. The rabbanon say that you can never create pigul with the half of the master. They would say that it doesn't matter. Pigul b'kermis v'loy b'levayna b'levayna v'loy b'levayna, you have to be mafagol b'chol ha-master. So they clearly say that you can't be mafagol with half the master. So according to them, so in the case of the chatzaris ha-pinyan, the entire master is the 43 sprinklings by Yom Kippur, or the 11 by the other ones, and all of them have to be done. Therefore, each one of them is a chatzim master. Only the combination of all of them together is a complete master. And according to Chassi doesn't mean a half. Right, but Chassi doesn't mean a half. It means a portion. It means a portion. Chassi Kaddish, for example, isn't exactly mathematically half Kaddish. Chassi Halal also, right, because it's much more than half of Halal, yeah. Okay, whatever. The Rabbanan clearly say, ein mefagel machasi master. You can only be mefagel with all or nothing. So they couldn't say that if you had a thought of pigle by the first one and then the proper thought by all the other 42, that it would be pigle. They wouldn't hold that. El or Rabmeir. Obviously then, if the Mishnah is implying that if the chutzah's mane thought came by the first one, then it would be pigle. That can only work according to Rabmeir. Because it can't work according to the Rabban.
No, it doesn't work according to the Rabban.
So therefore, by elimination, the only other opinion we know that has a thought, that has an opinion about this is Rabban. Now, the E time is that a mayor mishum the mafagim machati matir. Now, if a mayor held the reason why it can become pigle in the case of the mincha, is because you're able to create pigle with half the matir, I feel it's a taninam. Then it wouldn't matter. Then it wouldn't matter what order it was done in. According to him, if you did 42 of them with no thought at all, and then the 43rd with a machshavas chutzah manis, according to him, it should be pigle. Why not? The fact that he implies in the Mishnah that only if the first one was done with a thought of pigle was a pigle, lav mishum b'kasava kol ois al das rishonah who is it? Must it not be because he holds that when you ask according to your original thought? So therefore, that's the proof. That it's not because it's not because he says in the fagel machati master. You can't be in the fagel with only half the master. He agrees it needs to be that pigle needs to be by the entire master. However, he holds if you did a sort of pigle by the first part of the master and the rest of it you did without any machshava, then they all follow the kurkiyan. You go according to the original thought. For the oisah das is showing the oisah. And therefore, that's it. Now it's effectively did all 43 of them with a thought of chutzah manis.
But it has really nothing to do.
That's the point. Nothing to do with chatzi master or the whole master. It has to do with what's first and what's last. And do we say that the other ones that were done with shtika follow the first one that was done with a thought of it? Okay. So that's the shlokish is. However, Almer of Shmuel by Yitzchak, La'olam Rabbanan, not necessarily. You could say that our Mishnah is like the Rabban, and now what are you going to do with the implication that there's a difference whether he had the thought of Chutzah's Mane by the first one or by the last one? My Ketiknan, Ketiknan L'Pigol. Because you could understand that. What does it mean that if he did all of them Ketiknan and one not Ketiknan? Ketiknan would be the other way around. Ketiknan l'pigul. The word ketiknan wouldn't mean properly, meaning that he did it with no machshava and therefore the korban is kosher. Just the opposite. It means ketiknan l'pigul. The word ketiknan would mean what makes it able to become pigul. Meaning, in other words, that he did the first one with the thought of chutzah manai. So that would be the point. We don't say that he goes according to Das Rishonah, because they would disagree with Rebbeir on that. So when the Mishnah says, therefore, that if you did all of them Ketiknan, and one of them Shaloi Ketiknan, you shouldn't think, therefore, that it means that once he started doing one of them, one or more of them Ketiknan, meaning with a thought of Tizzle, don't think that... No, according to the Rabbanan, it would specifically have to be the first one, because if it's not the first one, there's no Kiddush in it. Because everybody holds in the Fagman Machti Masr. But the point is, you're trying to infer from the Mishnah that there's a difference, where the only reason it's possible is because he didn't have a sort of tiggle by the first one, but if he had a sort of tiggle by the first one, it would be tiggle, which would be according to the mayor. No, maybe the Mishnah means the other way around. Even if he had a sort of tiggle by the first one, he would have to have a sort of tiggle by all 43 of them, otherwise it's not tiggle. So the word katiknan would be exactly the opposite of what we thought. We thought katiknan meant the proper thing to do, meaning to not have a sort of fortismanet. Now we're saying katiknan can mean what makes it able to become tiggle, namely a sort of fortismanet. Okay, problem with that is, you can say I mean, because we would rather say, I mean, even though we say Sam Mishnah and a mayor, you would still rather as much as possible that a Mishnah goes according to everybody rather than only according to the mayor. Sam Mishnah and mayor primarily means as far as the wording of this is a mayor's wording, but we'd still rather say that the actual content of the Mishnah goes according to everybody. Even if it means stretching the meaning of the word Katiknan. Okay. The problem with that is Muhammad Katani Lafika can not pull in Katiknan Bahashalikan possible in recorded. Okay, but then what do you mean? The Mishnah says that therefore if you did all of them Katiknan and one of them Shalok Katiknan, then we're saying it's possible, but there's no card.
In other words,
all of them Katiknan. I mean, if you're gonna say that Katiknan means wrongly and one Shalok Katiknan. Yeah, I mean means wrongly. Yeah. So much right. The chutzpah manage, and one shalika tikkun. You're saying it's possible the ain by kodesh. You're saying it's possible, but there's no kodesh in it. The point is, in other words, now if it was trying to say what you're saying, that you don't say you go according to the first machshava. You have to have all of them with machshavas tzul. You have to have all of them with machshavas chutzpah manage, or it's not tiggle. If that were the case, then why is the Mishnah using the expression that he did only one of them shalika tikkun? Mikvah the tikkun lechsher hudalsa. That means that the word katikna means that you're trying to make it kosher. Means that you're trying to say if the word katikna means to try and make it tiggle. Loy katikna means that he didn't have anything in mind and therefore is not able to make it tiggle. Then what are you calling the shtika? What are you calling it? Shaloy katikna. It doesn't accomplish anything. Katikna means tiggle, but what does shaloy katikna mean? In other words, the point is like this. If we're saying, having in mind the first one for piggle makes it piggle. But not having anything in mind doesn't prevent the first machshava from taking effect. So why are you calling it shaloy katiknan as though not having anything in mind doesn't prevent it from taking effect. It's not kosher enough to, it doesn't take away his first machshava, doesn't contradict his first machshava. Shaloi katikna would be implying then that something that takes it away from being tiggle. But why? I mean, it doesn't really take it away from being tiggle. If katikna means something that makes it tiggle, shaloi katikna would be something that prevents it from becoming tiggle. But a sort of shtika doesn't really prevent it from becoming tiggle.
It cannot prevent them.
In other words, it would be a proper thought. That's the point. That would be like a thinker. It would have to be a proper thought, as opposed to just a sticker.
So
shaloika tikna must mean, so shaloika tikna, so we must go back to our original assumption that tikna means properly, meaning without any thought that would postulate. Shaloika tikna means with a thought that would postulate, an improper thought.
If you say shaloika tikna is properly when
then you can't call shtika shaloika tikna. Shaloika tikna therefore would have to be having the proper thought, not just not having any thought at all.
And when it's saying shtika,
how are you calling it shaloika tikna? Meaning as if it's like the opposite of tiggle. It's not the opposite. It doesn't help. It doesn't hinder.
In other words, when you say that tikna means Not kosher, not proper. Shtika doesn't have any meaning. Is that what
we're saying? Kind of. Yeah. Look in Rashi on the widest, the first line of the widest line. Muhammad Fatani Achas Shalaika, Ba'achas Shalaika Tikna. Since it says one that he did Shalaika Tikna, Baloi Katani Kulin Katikna and Kutma Achas Man. Now he doesn't say that he did all of them Katikna, which we're assuming that Katikna means to make it piggle, except for one of them. Or he Ba'achas Bishtika, or he doesn't say explicitly one Bishtika. Shmamina Katikna and Da'omalach Shira. That means the word Katikna means to make it kosher. It doesn't mean to make it kosher as Rav Shmuel by Yitzchak is suggesting. and even machshava, all the piggle, because if you're talking about the word to tiknan, it means that he has the wrong machshava and makes it piggle. Heichi mikro lahaf to shtika shaloi ketikna. How can he call shtika shaloi ketikna as if like it undoes the piggle fact? He didn't think anything. He didn't ruin. He didn't try to undo his first machshava. Didn't he carry a shalei ketikna the pigle, that we should call it shalei ketikna as if it's the opposite of pigle. So therefore, it's more logical to say our original assumption is correct. Ketikna means properly, without anything that would topple it. Shalei ketikna means pigle. So again, that would mean we'd have to work it only according to the mayor. But Amar Rava, right. Rava says, my shalai ketikna, chut from a kaimer. Fine, but you can answer like this. The word shalai ketikna doesn't mean b'shtika, like we assumed before. It means where he has a different thought. He has a thought of chut from a kaimer. So therefore, in other words, so what does it mean that he did some, that he did the first one of them ketikna, could still mean pigle, like what Shmuel is saying. And when it says he did one or more of them shalai ketikna, means where he had an explicit other thought. He had a thought of chut from a kaimer. Where, as we said in the previous prayer, that, according to the Rabbanan, which is the Halacha, doesn't matter the order, a thought of chutzlus manai, chutzlus makayim, right? It can only be pigle only if there's chutzlus manai without any other thought involved. So once you have a thought of chutzlus makayim, then that's shaloi ketikna, that's undoing the pigle and making it possible instead. So therefore, so the Mishnah can still work according to the Chachamim. You can't learn from it anything about what Rav Meir would say if he did the first one with pigle and the rest is shtika, because the Mishnah may not be addressing a case where you did any of them with shtika. You did the first few with chutzlus manai. You did the rest of them with chutzlus makayim, and the chutzlus makayim undoes the chutzlus manai and makes it possible.
Undoes
chutzlus manai, right? Because we said in order it can only be pigle if it's chutzlus manai without anything else, without any other thought. Rav Ashi says another possibility, you could say shaloi ketikna means the thought of shaloi l'shma, because there's a chatas after all, and shaloi l'shma possibly.
Let me ask you a question.
Let's finish off. We'll get to the two dots. So Rav Ashi says there is another possibility. You don't have to say chutz l'makayim. You can say the chatas also shaloi l'shmoy. So the question is, the klal the key like over l'chutz l'makayim of shaloi l'shmoy m'chayev. So then, in that case, are we implying therefore that since the Tana is calling it possible only if you actually had a thought that undoes the pigle, not if you did it for shtika. So are you implying therefore that if you didn't have a thought of shaloi l'shmoy, it would be chayav for pigle? Why? The fact of the matter is, you had a thought of pigle at the beginning, but you didn't have a thought of pigle throughout. Ein mefagin on the chatzitza. What? The shtika, yeah. Yeah. So how could that be? The fact of the matter is that you need to have, according to the Rabbanon, you don't say al das rishon horoisa. So therefore, you have to have a thought, you have to have a thought of chutzlus manai throughout all the hazois in order for it to be possible. So why is the Mishnah implying that way? The answer is fine. The Mishnah is just saying, I do Tony Resha Pigul, Chayov and Olav Kari. Fine. But since the first part of the Mishnah mentioned that if you have the wrong thought by the one sprinkling of a chafetz b'tzayna, where again the one sprinkling is all that's needed to make it kosher, we said Pigul, Chayov and Olav Kari. Tonanami say the Possel, the Envay Kari. So therefore the Sefer also mentions a parallel Possel, the Envay Kari. But meaning, in other words, that it really would apply whether it was the shtika or whether he actually had a thought of chutzlus makayim later on as well.
Shtika meaning where there would be
so nothing. Where there would be nothing, where again, then Abanan would say it doesn't work because you need to have the thought throughout it, or whether he actually had a thought, like Rava said, of chutzlus makayim, or like Rav Ashi said, or like Rav Ashi said, shaloi l'shmoy. But just it's for parallelism with the previous part of the Mishnah. The question was that the Mishnah seems to be implying, if you're telling me that shaloi ketikna means an actual explicit thought of soul,
yeah,
then the Mishnah is not addressing the case of where you did the first one with thought of chutzlus manai and didn't do the other ones with any thought at all. Are you implying that it's chayav? But how can the Mishnah be implying that? If you're going to say the Mishnah is going to chachamim, that doesn't work. The answer is the only reason why the Mishnah is mentioning the specific cases of where you had a thought of chutzla mekaymer shalosh shmoy is for parallelism with the previous part, where with the chatas, it doesn't matter what machshavas you had after the first sprinkling. It doesn't matter once the first sprinkling was done good, then you're good. And vice versa, if you had a thought of chutzla mana by the first one, it doesn't matter whether you had chutzla mekaymer or shalosh shmoy by any of the other one, it's too late already because it's already pigle and it can't be undone. Therefore, for parallelism, he mentions the same thing in the Sefer and doesn't address the case where the rest of them were done b'shtika. But yes, he would also hold, the Chachamim would also hold, that even if the rest of them were done b'shtika, which is not what the Mishnah is calling shaloi ketiknan, then it would also not be piggle. For the same reason, because you need piggle, you need the thought of piggle by all 43 of them.
If he had the b'shtika at the end.
If he had the b'shtika at the end, according to that one, it doesn't work. To the point of the Rabbanon, you need to sort of piggle throughout the entire matter, throughout the oldest sprinkle.
So it would be kosher.
So therefore, it wouldn't be kosher, it would be possible.
It would be possible, but
not piggle. Actually, Tosis discusses over here the question, would it actually be possible, or would it maybe not be possible at all, but whatever. The point is, it certainly wouldn't be piggle. So no, according to the Chacham, according to the Rabbanon. But the point is, in other words, the Mishnah is only addressing the case of Shaloi Ketikna just because it wanted to draw a contrast, with the Chachas Chassayna, but didn't want to get into the details in the case of Chaperi Tachnimiyas, of the differences between whether he actually had another thought of Psul or whether he had no thought at all. But yes, by all of them, the Chachamim would hold it's possible but not stable. So what do you want to ask?
I think we saw that already. You have to, if you have, regardless of which opinion we're holding, if you have a beginning thought of chutzlis man, and then you have
the coincidence of Yehuda, yes, but that coincidence of Yehuda, the order matters. If you have first the thought of chutzlis man, and it becomes piggle, then it's too late to make it. It's too late to make it possible after that. But the Rabbanan disagreed with him.
I mean, really, Yehuda, if you have a first thought.
Of Piggle,
Chutzlis Mana,
then that's it. Piggle, and there's no one doing it.
The
Rabbanan say, as long as during one of the essential Avodas, during one of the four Avodas, as long as at some point you had some other Machshavas Psul, then the Korban is possible and not Piggle.
It's possible.
Right.
And not Piggle.
So therefore, according to them, again, if you started doing the Hazois with a thought of Chutzlis Mana, and the rest of them the shtika, it wouldn't work.
It would be possible.
It might not be possible, as Tosfos was discussing, but it certainly wouldn't be tickled.
It might not be possible also?
It might. In other words, right, it might not be possible, Tosfos is saying over here, because if we say in the Faglan Machasi Master, are we saying that it's still possible, or are we saying Tosfos brings that maybe Tosfos brings from a Gemara in Pesachim that seems to imply that maybe according to the Rabbanan it would be completely kosher.
That's what I'm asking.
Right. Suppose it says, actually, okay, we could say over here when we say it's possible, Doraita, it wouldn't be possible, but Darabonim would make a Xer, because you might end up being the Fagel on the entire Master.
Yeah, if they believe that you have Chetzi Mafir is not enough,
then they should hold that completely
kosher.
That's what it's saying. The Doraita, they might hold yes, but the Darabonim, they might hold the Xer.
But Doraita, it would be kosher.
Yeah.